It's 8:14. Joining us in the studio, we're very pleased to have, as promised, our good friend Charlie Preusser, who's our Western Wisconsin correspondent for the Thursday Buzz. Charlie, I'm sorry we haven't checked in with you for a while, so obviously we missed all kinds of news during this gap. And good morning, and thank you for being here.
Oh yeah, it's great to be here. Love the traffic.
Yeah, man, it was killing you, right?
Oh yeah, it was bad. But your receptionist mentioned it's the state high school basketball tournament. I remember those days.
You're right. And usually in Madison, people who've been here for a long time, it always snows during this weekend. And I don't know if Eli, is that in the weather report? Maybe we'll find out from the captain if we can get to him.
Weather report says rain.
Not quite.
I saw precipitation for sure. I guess not quite as cold as it used to be.
All right. Well, Charlie, now you're in town, though, because it's another one of those award ceremonies, and your small newspaper, the Kickapoo Scout in the
Crawford County Independent,
is again a major award winner. How many awards are you guys winning, and what is the event?
It's the Wisconsin Newspaper Association annual convention.
All right.
And, yeah, we are fortunate to have won a lot of awards this year.
Like how many?
16.
So many. Holy, look at that, Eli.
That's too many.
That's some serious journalism stuff.
Well, maybe we just enter a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so it's relatively easy. All you got to do is sign up. And
it wasn't easy. And we're very proud to have an 18-year-old intern get a first-place award this year.
Awesome.
See, I was going to ask you, one of the things I want to talk about is your internship program. I mean, you are able to mentor people in the community. I mean, do they just like come up and say, hey, I want to work for the newspaper. I want to be a news guy.
Yeah.
And Charlie's like, okay, you don't got to go to school.
Well, you know, if you go back in history, there were people doing newspapers and writing news stories before there were journalism schools.
I guess so. Somebody had to do it.
Right. And so then journalism schools didn't come into play until the 20th century. There was no journalism schools before that.
Wow. So anybody really, you want to be a newspaper?
Well, you know, writer? Just the facts, ma'am, you know, the pad of paper and the pencil and, yeah.
What's the award that the 18-year-old won?
They do it like the Oscars now, so we don't know what it's for.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I did figure out one of them. One of them that were one of our first place awards is for a photo page of the county fair in Crawford County, because I could tell by who entered it, you know, that's what that's going to be for.
Okay, so photography. Now, are there various categories, though, like for small-town newspapers? And what constitutes a small-town newspaper versus a big city like Madison newspaper?
Right now, I believe it's circulation under 2,500. That's for weeklies, and that makes the smallest category, and we're in it.
Okay. Well, I mean, and then, you know, we were mentioning a little bit about the importance of small town newspapers and what they can bring to the communities. And we've also talked and seen stories, not only here in Wisconsin, but around the country, of more and more of these small town newspapers.
Going out of business.
Dying.
Yes.
Well, not dying, they're going out of business.
Right.
Because I don't want to talk about death of them. But what, first of all, why is that happening, or why do you think that's happening? And also, how do you keep a small town newspaper alive like yours?
Well, there's a lot of reasons why that's happening. The obvious one is we have a lot of people that don't read paper product things anymore, you know. So that's affecting everything from the smallest to the largest. The online thing has never, it's working, but it's a work in progress.
You guys are online now also. Right?
Sort of, yeah.
That's like the website for my band.
Yeah, hopefully it's a little better than that, but it's probably similar. We do get our stories out, and they do make a difference, and we do work really hard at it.
What about your online subscriptions? Can you account on that, or what?
When you buy a subscription from us, which is $47 a year, or I don't know, something else if you buy 2 years. Then you automatically are entitled to get an E-edition. And the beauty of the E-edition isn't for the, you know, people that live in the villages and towns around us in Crawford County. It's really for our diaspora, which is spread across the entire country. And it takes a long time now to mail. We have people in Florida that get three weekly newspapers at once. They wait 3 weeks, and suddenly they're there. You know, the U.S. Postal Service is not what it used to be.
So I've heard. The other day you sent me some of the samples of your most recent articles, and I just kind of, I don't want to say it was quaint. It was actually stuff that's important. There's a bridge that washed out that connects Lansing, Iowa with
Ferryville and DeSoto.
In Wisconsin, yeah, and DeSoto, and the bridge is out. So the news is that there's a river ferry or a water ferry now that's taking people across a bridge. There was another big story about controversy over a landfill in Is that in Crawford County?
In Viroqua.
In Viroqua. And what's the controversy there?
That's in Vernon County. They want to expand it, and there's, you know, I mean, like, let's face it, the solution to landfills isn't really expanding them to put more in it. It's like to doing things to put less things in the landfill is the answer.
Right.
It's not, you know, make a bigger one. It's make less garbage.
Right.
And the stuff you make, take care of it where you make it, you know, compost it, get rid of it, you know, recycle it, go through all of that and really put an emphasis on that and really reduce your load.
These are things that are affecting small town America also, yeah.
Well, yeah, it's a big deal there. The problem is in Viroqua, it's located in Viroqua Township on a rural area among farms, and the geology underneath it is karst, which is eroding limestone. And
very porous. So.
Yeah, and water makes it erode and make new channels. And you can eventually erode your way down into the groundwater. And the groundwater is the source of, through a well, is the source of municipal water in Viroqua.
So are you guys having drinking water problems there yet?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay.
But there, you know, I guess like all of the things that you see happen, like Flint, Michigan, and everywhere else, the time to deal with what's potentially the problem is now, not once you get it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're in a dangerous situation, like you have karst geology under a landfill, it's probably incumbent upon you to, like, think about that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Eli, don't you have a most amazing question about the new redistricting maps and how that's going to affect Charlie's part of the
Well, yeah, that
the
was
state?
The biggest thing when I was looking at the redistricting maps, and you have a newspaper called the Crawford County Gazette. Crawford County's changing representation. How does that impact the news reporting that you're doing out there?
My reporter and Tony Castagnetta's friend, Gillian Pomplin, said the redistricting made Crawford County a political football.
Yes.
Yes.
I thought that was a good observation.
All right. So how's it shaking over there?
How's that football being tossed around?
Well, I think we are now in a district that includes Dane County. If you get way into Western Dane County somewhere, it's in our district.
Really?
And all of like Iowa County and, you know, Grant, which is below us. We've never been with Grant. I mean, it's right across the Wisconsin River from us. Boscobel's in Grant, but you know.
Well, I mean, now the congressional districts did not get changed as of yet, but that was a real point of contention for you. Several years ago, you were explaining how they were drawn up in such a way to give the Republicans a bigger advantage.
A one-seat advantage, yeah. I suppose. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm not much of a fan of Iowa or Iowa politics, and I live 13 miles away from Iowa. But they do seem to have the, something going on with that redistricting that I think Wisconsin tried to take a lesson from, but needs to take more of the lesson, which is they have a nonpartisan
commission
that does this, and they seem to be both Democrats and Republicans, as far as I can tell, seem to be at ease with how it's done, and that would be monumental if Republicans and Democrats in the state of Wisconsin could live with the redistricting.
Well, a lot of Democrats and a lot of people are pushing for that type of a system in terms of the powers that be in charge of redistricting years ago, and then just recently when the maps got changed here, the Republicans, they always opposed that type of a setup. Where they didn't have control. Of course, this time, though, they said, oh, we need an Iowa style.
Yeah.
What about that? What about their change of heart there?
Well, everybody has it. The ones that are like not going to benefit from it, not in control, not in power, they want the nonpartisan commission. And the ones that are in power, they don't want it, and it just switches back and forth. And that's no good because, in talking to people in the congressional offices, Lauren Oldenburg is our state representative at the moment, and I called his office and talked to the person there, and I said, I really want to understand where we are, how it's going forward, and, what's going to happen because, it's not just partisan voting. You have to have a representative. And when you need help, whether that representative is Democrat or, in Lauren Oldenburg's case, Republican, you have to go to them. And when you're a person in need of help at the state level, you need to know who that is. Mm-hmm. There's a representation thing that supersedes party in a way.
And, of course, you always say how easier it is to just go across the street and there's your state representative living there, or you'll see him down at the, at the country store there.
Right. Well, I mean,
while you're picking up your bag of grain to make your bread. Sorry, man. I should not be making fun of small town Wisconsin. I love it out there.
Well, demographics are changing, and there's more and more people starting to be interested in living in rural areas. And for good reason. I was in that traffic jam this morning. There were more cars in my traffic jam in Madison this morning than I think are in my county.
Do you think gentrification is going to be coming over to Soldier's Grove? Or what?
Yeah, we have seen that. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Darn it.
Well, it doesn't surprise me. I know speaking of an anecdote of a personal friend of mine who moved to a small town in Indiana from Chicago, was able to keep his job, was able to work remote, and is now living in small town Indiana, still working his same job in Chicago. So it's as people are able to work remote, if that's the thing that's capable to them, maybe people are moving elsewhere.
Well, it's true. I just ran into somebody last night who works in California. She's got a job there, but she just moved to Madison, back to Madison. And she's like,
we have a person with California roots that moved back and moved into our friend, my former reporter Emily's house when she sold it from L.A.
Wow.
And
it's
happening
everywhere, folks.
Her partner is like a actor or actress.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Excellent. We're speaking with Charlie Preusser. He's the editor, and are you the publisher?
No, I'm not the publisher.
He's the editor of the Crawford County Independent Kickapoo Scout, and he's also our really knowledgeable correspondent there. Lets us know what's going on in western Wisconsin. So a lot of stuff going on. What about the Van Orden race, Charlie? Is he going down or what?
Let's get your thoughts on that. I don't know. He doesn't have a real sterling record in office.
No, he doesn't.
But
he just shouted down Joe Biden a couple of days ago right at the State
of
the
Union. That's less. I mean, he's gotten into altercations with what I would call children. I guess they are teenagers, but it's sort of like a Navy SEAL, like confronting teenagers in the Capitol or in the Prairie du Chien Library or something.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. He is kind of weird. And there are some questions about his background, too. right when he was running. He said he was.
We could never interview him. He would. They were totally unresponsive.
Really?
Yeah.
Even for the Crawford County Independent.
Yeah, we couldn't. It's like the only candidate I ever encountered that absolutely, no matter how much I put into it, they would not return calls. They would not return email. They stonewalled us.
Wow.
We never got a statement from him.
Well, what did you know? What did you figure out? Did you find out anything about his background? I mean, he says he's salt of the earth, poor guy, but there were some questions of whether or not he went to a private school when he was growing up.
I don't know if he went to a private school, but I don't
think... This is all off the... I mean, this is not verified.
Thursday,
everybody.
8 o'clock buzz. Yes, views and opinions expressed on the Thursday, 8 o'clock buzz do not necessarily represent...
All right, now let's go. Let's talk some more.
Well, there was
rumors.
There was a period of time where his family... moved to Oregon, and
the real one,
the state Oregon, of Oregon, yes.
Okay.
And they I didn't research it that much, but it didn't look like they were living in abject poverty in Oregon. It was kind of seemed like a affluent suburb of somewhere.
All right. Okay.
Portland or somewhere. I don't know.
All right. Well, that's how we got on them so far, Eli.
Well, I mean,
other than he likes to yell at kids.
It's important to have somebody that's knowledgeable of the district. He just moved into the district. He ran against Brad Pfaff, whatever people think of Brad Pfaff. Brad Pfaff is very knowledgeable about agriculture and also is like a fifth generation resident of that district. Mm-hmm. So there's, and Van Orden, like, wasn't in the district and moved into the district to run against Ron Kind.
And of course the Democrats did not really put any effort behind Pfaff in that whole race. They kind of ignored it. So, here's a guy, Van Orden. He likes to yell at teenagers and he likes to yell at old people, obviously, because he yelled at Joe Biden last Thursday.
He'll yell at me next time.
He won't.
I'm an old people now, My birthday's March 25th. I'll be 71.
Oh,
wow, man. It's rough. All right, Eli, you got a question here?
Well, I said I was commenting on just the Van Orden thing where, if you're going to be a representative of a district, it feels like you should be able to be contacted by members of that district, especially people who are looking out for the interest of those constituents.
The press.
Yes.
There you go.
And that was my point earlier about this whole redistricting thing that I was making to Lauren Oldenburg's staff is, there's this thing beyond partisanship that you represent a geographical area. And if I'm in that geographical area, whether I voted for you or didn't vote for you, that you are my representative. And, that is how we have to approach government, through those people that are elected.
And that's the way you approach your journalism work too, Charlie. And I really appreciate you being here and fighting through all that traffic. Man, be careful driving home, man.
Reminded me of my 17-year taxi cab driving career.
In Madison.
Yeah, Madison, Milwaukee, yeah.
All right, Charlie, thank you so much. And again, congratulations on all those awards you're getting. I'll hear about it later on today when I run into you later on at the Cardinal Barn. You're going to see Eli's comedy show.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I just want to say one thing about that bridge thing. We just mentioned it briefly. The bridge thing from Wisconsin to Iowa at Lansing and kind of at Ferryville to DeSoto on the Wisconsin side is important because if you don't cross the bridge there, you have to go 50 to 80 miles to get to the other side.
I remember when it washed out, when you guys had
and
the flooding.
Because you have to go to La Crosse or Prairie du Chien, which are 25 and 35 miles away.
Wow.
And then you have to get back to where you were because all you're trying to do is go across the river. And
so what's the word on that bridge?
They say 2 months. They're building a new bridge next to it, and it's not confirmed, but everybody kind of speculates that the building of the new bridge right in the river right next to it and all the pounding and whatever probably might have caused the
other one
failure of this.
Okay.
So now they're building new piers on the old one, but it'll take them two months at least to complete. So that's where this ferry's going to come into play.
Right.
It's the other problem with that, Tony, is it's a rural thing. It's like this bridge is vital to tens of thousands of people at the most.
Daily, on a daily basis.
Yeah, yeah. Well, on a daily basis, it's probably just thousands,
right.
You know, if right. that, yeah. You know. But, I mean, people live on one side of the river, and they cross this couple mile, it's a bridge and a causeway together and stuff. They cross a couple of miles and they're on the other side in the other state, and then they work there. Then they go home. Well, then all of a sudden there's no bridge, and they have to go like, you know, oh, they have to take an hour and a half trip.
It's like the olden days, man. Yeah. Wow.
So anyway,
yeah, all right.
I just wanted to clarify that a little bit. The importance of that's probably the longest span on the upper Mississippi River between bridges.
Right.
Between La Crosse and Prairie du Chien. Without that bridge in there, that's then it's like, you know, it's long to begin with, and then that's got to be the longest. Just
those of us in a big city might think something like that is trite, but it's very vital to those communities.
Well, when I lived in Milwaukee and crossed the Milwaukee River, there was a bridge every couple blocks.
All right,
so
Charlie.
If they closed one, you just went to the other.
Yeah.
You know,
all right.
It wasn't. Well, 25 miles away.
Hey, have fun, man, at the thing today. Yeah. Get some awards and bring them over to the Cardinal Bar tonight and show them to us.
Oh, we don't get them till tomorrow, man.
Oh,
man.
Oh, right.
But we are going to go down there and see you. I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad I made it to Madison.
Right.
And I'm glad the state basketball tournament is going to be all over the streets. I remember that. That's great that they still do that and didn't move it to Racine or something. Later, you guys.
All right, Charlie.
Thanks, Charlie.
Charlie Preusser, there you have it.